Optus waited almost a day before it told the public that its 000 outage was linked to three deaths. But in that time frame, the telco held a number of crisis management meetings. The timeline was outlined yesterday in a Senate inquiry hearing into the telco's handling of the 000 outage in September. Optus CEO Stephen Roo told the Senate inquiry he was deeply sorry about the outage, but he says he doesn't plan to go anywhere.
There are questions arising about my position, but I firmly believe that another change of leader at this time is not what Optus needs or what our customers need. The disruption and uncertainty could actually set back the transformation underway.
Well, joining me now is Melissa McIntosh, the Shadow Minister for Communications. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Should the Liberal Party, in your view, adopt a slower approach to net zero, or should it follow the Nationals' policy position?
I think we'll come up with our own approach to where we're going to land on energy policy. And as I said, I'm hoping that we listen to our communities across the country, and I've certainly been listening to mine, and I was saying, and I apologise for the bad line, I'm in Parliament House, we can blame the politicians for that. But I've been speaking to my community and surveying them, and they actually don't want us to be heading towards net zero by 2050. They're really suffering. Their energy prices are up. They want to do the right thing. They put solar panels on their roofs. They can't afford the batteries. And so my position is for us not to follow that track. We know that Labor is failing on their targets with net zero. We know they're failing on their targets with housing policy and their promise to build more housing, and they're failing Australians on the broken promises of bringing down power bills by $275. So we should be prosecuting being a strong opposition on those issues, and at the same time working out where we'll land on our energy policy.
Do you think there's enough goodwill in the Liberal Party for everyone to get behind a unified position?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think the process that has been gone through, led by Dan Tehan, has been a good one. Everyone's had a chance to speak. It's not like we've waited for one party room, there's going to be an uproar and no one really knows each other's positions. People have had a chance to have meetings. We've heard from experts. We've come together and had those discussions. Dan's door's been open. So I think the fact that we've had so much time to have a real in-depth look, we've been able to represent our communities, which is what I'm doing, I think we'll land on a position. I just want our position to be a pragmatic position that works for everyday Australians, like the people in my community.
So whatever the position might be, does it have to be compatible with the Nats, or can it be, practically, can it be different from what the Nats' position is?
I think, and we've had such a long history of being able to work with the Nats. I sit next to David Littleproud in Question Time. I've got a strong relationship with many of them. I've worked with Ann Webster on the telco issue with 000. So I think we will. I think it's our relationship is strong enough for us to come to settle on a position, as long as we're listening to our communities. And I know, speaking to people like Michael McCormack, that's what he's been doing, and his people are struggling as well with renewable projects out in the regions. So if we continue on a sensible path where we are stripping away any other agendas besides trying to do the best for Australians, I think we'll land there.
If we're looking at the leadership of Susan Lee, when it comes to net zero, is she damned if she does and damned if she doesn't?
I don't think so. I think the media, and I'm being honest with you here, I think the media are making more of that issue than what we're feeling internally. It's a difficult position. You can't say that coming to, it has brought down previous leaders. It's not an easy issue for the coalition to deal with, and we have lost many seats across the country. So we are in a position of, we look at, okay, what do we do and how does that impact the communities and the seats that we would like to get back? But it has to also appeal to the seats that we retain, like mine in outer metro Sydney, in Western Sydney. So I don't think your comment there, I think it's a difficult position for her, but with the amount of consultation, I think we'll get it right in the end. May seem messy on the way.
6 months after the election, the opposition is singling out what it's against in policy terms, but what's the coalition for?
we're for Australians. I know that I'm for my community. And as I said, some of those things that I've been talking to you about and even going to the Triple Zero outage, like I think we were a really strong opposition in the last weeks in prosecuting the case against both Optus and the government's failings in that. And if we stay focused and we do that, I think we'll start making some ground. But I think Australians do want us to sort out our issues quite quickly. They're disappointed in us, probably could use stronger words than even disappointed, and want us to get our act together. Mm. So let's start focusing on those policies that make a difference. Protecting Australians, you know, against Triple Zero outages is nothing more important than that.
We've only got a couple of minutes up our sleeve. You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Shadow Minister for Communications, Melissa McIntosh. Let's go to the Senate inquiry into the Optus 000 outage. What did you learn from yesterday's hearings, and what's the information that's still missing in your view?
I think we didn't hear enough from those hearings. The point of the hearings is that there were so many failures around Optus's handling of the outage, and we heard yesterday in the hearings there were 10 failures. And when I met with the CEO of Optus, he had indicated to me it was human error, and it was a process issue, and that's not good enough. How can a human error result in an outage where people's lives were lost? And then the failings of even the government. So ACMA, I still believe that ACMA, and I feel this after their appearance yesterday, should not be the investigator into the outage. They're part of the failed process. There's still question marks around when they knew and when they alerted the minister and all sorts of things like that. And it's not going to be a transparent outcome, I fear. We pushed really hard through Parliament to have a public register of outages so every single Australian can see what's going on. And the government's decided to push the onus back onto the telcos. And you think, well, which telcos are going to be really marking their own homework and publicising their problems? So it is complex, but at the end of the day, Australians need to have that assurance that they can get through when they make a 000 call. And I don't know that we're at that position yet. There's still many questions about what happened, and we need answers, and we need to know that it's not going to happen again.
Melissa McIntosh, thank you for joining me this morning, and thanks for your patience as we tried to get a better line. Thank you.
Thank you.